Good morning and aloha. This is Reverend David Fujimoto coming to you from the Naijing of Punahonganji. Before I start this morning, I would like to take this opportunity to congratulate Bishop Eric Matsumoto on his recognition as one of the University of Hawaii Hilo's outstanding alumni. As I mentioned, this morning's message is coming to you from the Naijing of Punahonganji. For many a Sundays, the Buddha Dharma is shared with the many people that come to service. However, the temple is not only a place where Sunday services are held. Many of life's polar events are celebrated here. From births, marriages, the completion of various levels of academic endeavors, and death. Oftentimes, Buddhism gets this stigma of being a religion of death, but I beg to differ. It is a religion of life. Each morning, as the temple doors are open, people from various walks of life gather to celebrate various stages in their lives. As a Shoshinge is chanted every morning, for me, it's a service to just celebrate life and all the karmic instances that had happened over the years for myself in order for me to be able to sit in the temple each morning. Each Sunday, it's a celebration of being able to have the opportunity to share the Buddha Dharma with everyone that comes. Recently, I just came back from a speaking engagement in Seattle, Washington, as a part of the Northwest District Annual Buddhist Convention. There, I gave the keynote address, two workshops, and delivered the sermon at the Sunday morning service. The topic of the workshop that I gave made me ponder for many months. In an email message, the chairperson of the convention gave me the topic of why do I go to temple as the topic of the two workshops. All of us have many reasons as to why we attend temple. When I first contemplated this thought, the first thing that came to my mind was when I was a student at Honganji Mission School. Going to temple always meant, is this the time we're going to get candy? When we were young, the Buddha Dharma took a backseat to candy. Yes, it was all about the candy. However, it wasn't until the last service of the school year that we received candy from the ladies of the Fujinkai. For others, especially in the pre-statehood or pre-World War times, many came to the temple because it was a place to get the latest news of back home, or learn Japanese or the English language. Perhaps it was learning martial arts or the latest crafts. For many in the next generation, it was looking for that hot guy or that cute girl. Come on now, I know some of you did that, or perhaps are doing that now. Going to the temple offers us the opportunity to share in the Buddha Dharma and celebrate the life we have and appreciate all the karmic instances that have happened to us to be able to sit in the temple pews each Sunday. This morning, as all of you head to your local temples for your Sunday morning service, as you settle down in your seat, I would like to ask you to do something. Look at the statue of Amida Buddha and ask yourself, what is the Buddha doing? No, the Buddha is not sleeping. The Buddha has his eyes half open as if to say, yes, I'm still looking out for you, but at the same time, I'm looking inside at myself. Many times when we see our friends, we say, hey, how's it? How you doing? For many of us, we are not used to asking ourselves that very question. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, we often judge ourselves by our appearance. Oh, I'm fat. Oh, look at all that white hair I'm getting. Or every teen's nightmare. Oh no, I better pop that zit on my face before everyone sees it. We never look in the mirror and ask us ourselves the question, how am I doing? Temple offers us the chance to run away from the busy world and look inside of our lives and reflect on the life we have and ask ourselves that question of how are we doing? Many karmic instances have happened in our lives, whether we know it or not, that have allowed us to be where we are today. Many people have gone and come into our lives. Many events have happened, and many external things have shaped our minds into the way we think and do things. As we listen to the Buddha Dharma and share in our life experience, we come to fully appreciate the life that we have. As I sit here in the Nijing, I often ponder what kinds of thoughts were conveyed by all the previous generations of ministers that sat here in the Nijing and spoke from the podium. What were their thoughts on the Buddha Dharma? How did they relate it to the people that came into the temple doors? Just as all of us have different perspectives in life and experiences, I'm sure the delivery style was all different and unique to each minister. Life is interesting in that fashion, in that different methods in explaining the Buddha Dharma were used by each minister. Buddhism is indeed very much a living religion, for the teachings of the Buddha is frequently manifested in our everyday lives. As we live our lives and ask ourselves how we're doing, much of that spiritual searching is found in temple. Many people think it's out of obligation or because my parents have been coming here for years. But if we can change that attitude and give the teachings a try, you'll see that it seems as if the teachings were made for me and me alone. That is how one of Shinran Shonin's founders felt. As he shared his thoughts to Shinran in a letter, Kyoshin states, all due to the compassion of the Takatagat of unhindering light, grasping never to abandon us, we rejoice completely, free of doubt, and our attainment of birth is settled in the Nembutsu, down to one utterance. Now that I have realized this to be the inconceivable working of the vow, I see that everything is for myself alone. The sacred Pure Land scriptures, which I never tire of reading and listening to, the constant desire to meet true teachers, grasping never to be abandoned, Shinjing and Nembutsu. I wonder what kinds of thoughts were going through Kyoshin's mind as he wrote this to Shinran. He must have been filled with appreciation and gratitude, knowing that the Buddha won't let us get lost in that department store we call life. Whatever the reason you come to temple, let us hear the teachings without any preconceived notions, and let us hear the teachings so that we too can be filled with the same sense of appreciation and gratitude Shinran and Kyoshin had for the teachings of the Buddha. This morning as I end, I would like to read to you a letter from Renyo Shonin called Shinjin Yakutoku no Sho, or Attaining the Entrusting Heart. Attaining the entrusting heart lies in understanding the 18th vow. To understand this vow means to understand what Namo Amida Butsu is. And so, when one takes refuge, that is Namo, in Amida, in one thought moment, making aspiration and directing virtue is implied. This means that Amida Tathagata directs virtues to us foolish beings. This is taught in the larger sutra as bringing all sentient beings to the attainment of virtues. So it follows that all karmic evil and blind passions which we have given rise to since the beginningless past are completely extinguished by the inconceivable vow power. Hence we do well in the stage of non-retrogression, or the stage of the truly settled. This is the meaning of the statement, we attain nirvana without severing blind passions. This teaching is unique to our tradition, and so should not be discussed with followers of other schools. This we should carefully bear in mind, humbly and respectfully. Once again, this is David Fujimoto, resident minister of Punahonganji, coming to you from the Naijing of Punahonganji. Have a safe week in the Buddha Dharma. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu.